I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays, 9 to 11 o'clock, I am providing a safe space for the independent thinkers out there, or those who aspire to be. Today is Wednesday, so next hour we will go to Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I'm going to do some take a look at gut health. I've talked about this before, but I ran across some information about kids' behavioral issues, and in particular autism. This also affects adults, with really an amazing interview. I can't play the whole thing. It was an hour long, but it was pretty amazing to hear what people don't understand is going on, particularly when it comes to behavioral issues in children. And the challenges, particularly that autistic kids face, and the problems that they're seeing from the problems they have with the damage to their gut, particularly the balance of good and bad bacteria there. So we'll talk a little bit about this. If you know of anybody who's got a child who's got behavioral issues, anywhere on the autism spectrum, it certainly is more prevalent now than it used to be. This is information that they really need to know. And a couple of stories about kids that have been healed and just the tremendous difference that they see that are quite amazing. We'll do that next hour. Also, the Western medical system has failed on us on just about every health front except for surgery. Tiger Woods, of course, reported that he had a car accident yesterday. Sounds like he got banged up pretty good, particularly had some bad leg injuries. It's probably never been a better time to be that unlucky and end up needing surgery, because our medical system is absolutely fantastic about putting the body back together in something like this. But the rest of the system, as far as maintaining our health, that's where I have a big problem with the Western medical system, and we've exported some of it. I've got some stuff I'm going to read from an Australian doctor that really just, you can see what Western medicine has become. And I'll start off with a pretty amazing statistic. You know, we constantly hear that the U.S. medical system is the best in the world. Well, statistics don't necessarily bear that out. And then we're also going to talk about declining fertility, another consequence of the Western way of life, some pretty big statistics when it comes to that, too. So we'll do all that next hour in Hump Day Health. Quotes of the day today, John V. Lindsay says, "Those who suppress freedom always do so in the name of law and order and health." I'll add on health there, too. Charles Hughes Smith wrote, "America's financial system is nothing more than a toxic waste dump of speculation, fraud, collusion, corruption, and rampant profiteering." And I think we have come to realize this as well. And then Craig Murray wrote, "As a rule of thumb, if the government wants you to know it, it probably isn't true." And that's what we're going to get into today. A little bit. I talked about, I feel like I should do 20 minutes on Tiger Woods. I mean, I feel very bad for the guy that he had a bad car accident. He certainly is a great athlete, has been a great thing to watch over the years, has had his health challenges. The poor guy's laying in a hospital bed recovering from what sound like some pretty bad injuries. And, of course, the media is jumping on all of his past sins and transgressions. They're showing his mugshots from his DUIs, talking about his infidelity to his wife. I mean, the speculation is that, was Tiger Woods drunk? What, you know, was this that? And they're replaying all of the footage from the things that he came back from in the first place. But they sent out, Today Show sent out one of their people to stand out in front of the hospital where Tiger Woods is recovering. I mean, again, I hate to see anybody have an accident like that. It's sad, and Tiger Woods certainly has worked hard and excelled well at something, and he's to be admired for that. But, I mean, I would say the first hour of morning news this morning, 25 minutes of it, was taken up with this one guy's car accident. So anyway, I'm not going to talk about it. I guess if I were to ask one question about the Tiger Woods accident, I would have to ask, how is it possible in today's world that the government allowed something to happen that harmed a human being? I mean, this is the government that tells us if we just do what they say, they can keep us safe. We don't accept any risk anymore in society. We're willing to give away all of our freedoms and our ability to travel. I don't know. Maybe we should have congressional hearings on the use of the car, the tragic consequences of use of the automobile. When it comes to that stuff and the government keeping us safe, this is a word of warning to you. I ran across this story, and when I see a story and have a different interpretation that I don't think is very obvious, those are some of the stories that I bring to this show. Something kind of jumps out at me that I know doesn't jump out at other people. That's the kind of material that I want to include here. I don't want to be doing the same old everybody else. Oh, we'll get to the $1.9 trillion budget spending bill in just a little bit, but I have a different take on that as well. But I ran across a piece. Let's see what the headline here is. This was on Mediaite. Headline being, Dr. Fauci says Trump's, quote, denial and lack of facts contributed to magnitude of U.S. COVID death toll. And here's what Anthony Fauci said, and I'll tell you how I interpret this, because this is a word of warning to everybody. He was talking to CNN's Allison Camerota. She said, do you think that his denial, you know, this is typical CNN, leading the witness. Allison Camerota said, do you think that his denial and lack of facts contributed to this level of loss? And this is what Anthony Fauci said, and I'll tell you how I interpret this. Quote, I certainly think that's part of it. When you have such a common force, such as a powerful force against you, you've got to do it together in a unifying way and not have any kind of political ideology divisiveness getting in the way of what we're trying to do. That's not the only thing that really was a problem, but that certainly, in my mind, having lived through it, was something that I found really to be unfortunately damaging. And they go on a little bit more, where Anthony Fauci essentially says that he just wasn't able to do everything he wanted to do. And when you look back at 2020, and the reason that I say this and the way I interpret this is we better really wrap our minds around the fact that viruses are a way of life and another one will come, whether it's a variant of this. We've already heard of the plague in some places. I think Russia's got bubonic plague right now. The Ebola is breaking out somewhere right now. We have to understand that they are not done with us. Even when we stop using the term COVID-19, something else will arise. And to read this from Anthony Fauci, what my takeaway is, what Anthony Fauci is saying, and this is their thinking at the health level, including our own Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi, we didn't do enough to stop this thing. Closing down the economy, not enough. Closing down the churches and the schools, not enough. Forcing face masks on people, not enough. Keeping families apart from each other, not enough. Having people die alone in hospital beds from all kinds of different causes, not allowing them visitors in their last days, not enough. Treating retirement homes and nursing homes, residents like prisoners, not enough. See, the lesson from this will be not that we overreacted, decimated hundreds of thousands, millions of small businesses, forced millions of people into poverty, caused a mental health crisis that resulted in increased suicides, increased addiction, increased substance abuse. That won't be the lesson that they, the Thomas Dobbs, the Anthony Fauci's, the CDC, the FDA, your politicians, that is not the message that they will take away from this, thinking, okay, well, we overreacted this time and caused so many knock-on effects, all of the people that will die prematurely of cancer because they didn't get treatment in 2020 like they normally did. The suicide deaths, the mental health crisis of our children who are committing suicide at like age 11 these days because they've been cut off from all of their social connections. They will not take those lessons. The only lesson that they will take from this and that they will apply to the next pandemic or the next, air quotes here in the studio, danger that they see coming our way is that they didn't do enough of what they did in 2020. And the reason I say this is a warning and you got to wrap your heads around it is because we are such a horrible, and this is probably throughout history and in all different countries, but I only care about the United States. We are horrible at getting ahead of something. We are horrible at being proactive on guarding our rights. We are horribly reactive to everything that happens. And so the lesson that our health authorities will take from this thing is that they just didn't do enough. Anthony Fauci is saying that, yeah, Trump's not allowing us to do everything we wanted to do, or kind of pushing back on us a little bit, stopped us from really locking the country down, really forcing face masks, really crushing small businesses, really closing churches across the country. That's what they really want to do. And so rest assured, the next time this comes, the only lesson that they will take from this, they will ignore all of the knock-on problems that their approaches to this has taken, and they will remember only that they didn't do enough. And this is the problem with government in the first place. It's the education system. The education system fails, they give them a little bit more money. They fail again. What was it? We didn't give them enough money. They always need a little bit more. They just didn't do enough. We get kids at first grade, educate them through 12 years. We can't get them fully educated. That's the problem is we didn't get them in kindergarten. So you get them in kindergarten, you take them all the way through 12th grade, you can't get them educated properly to keep up in the world. What do they say? We need Head Start. We didn't get them early enough. It's always more and more and more action rather than taking a hands-off look. And I saw a headline yesterday. Future vaccinations depend on test subjects in short supply, and they're talking about monkeys. It was a very dire prediction that there are these companies that are they're having a problem getting the monkeys for the testing. Future vaccinations depend on test subjects in short supply, monkeys. And my first thought was, well, they don't need monkeys anymore. Tens of millions of adult Americans right now are willingly lining up to be test subjects in the greatest human experiment that has ever been conducted. What do they need monkeys for anymore? I say, free the monkey. I think we're done with that antiquated cruelty to animals procedure where we test on animals before humans, because we have shown, without a shadow of a doubt, that tens of millions of Americans are willing to be experimented on. Free the monkey. Be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good, no bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
I saw a story on the news that it was billed as Congress was grilling the pharmaceutical company executives on their, you know, providing this vaccine. And I just laughed and laughed and laughed when I heard that. What do you think they're holding back? You think they have not extended every resource to produce vaccines? If you owned a business and the government came to you and said, hey, we're going to steal a bunch of money from everybody in America and just hand it over to you, hand over fist, for a product that you've never had to even test and you have zero liability for. Don't you think you'd probably be tripping over yourselves to get them as much of that product as possible? But Congress is going to swoop into action and really grill them on whether or not they're getting us all the doses that they can get us. You can rest assured that every one of these pharmaceutical companies that has got something that is, I hate the term, they keep saying it's FDA approved. It's not an approved vaccine. It's approved for emergency use. It hasn't gone through the same rigorous process of an approved vaccine. But the idea that the board of directors of all of these pharmaceutical companies aren't just saying, stop everything. The government has just opened up their wallet. We can take as much of taxpayer cash as we possibly can for a product we have no liability for. Trust me, you do not have to browbeat the pharmaceutical executives to produce this product. They will make it, and they will make it, and they will make it till we have so much that the government has to say, well, now we got a bunch of extra, 3, 4 doses, 5 doses, 6 doses, annual doses. Every 6 weeks, take a dose. Put a dose in your lunch bag when you go to work. Dose yourself at lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, doses. Tate Reeves yesterday here in Mississippi, our governor was talking about cases going down, hospitalizations going down in Mississippi, and this was his quote. I wrote it down when I heard him say it. Tate Reeves is having a quote. This is what I wrote down. Conversations about what the next executive orders will look like. They are going to consider lifting some restrictions on your freedoms. Thanks, Tate. And, you know, really what I would say if I got in front of Tate Reeves, I guess I would say, hey, Daddy Tate, did you see how good we did during the ice storm? A bunch of us decided not to get out on the slick roads all by ourselves. We did it all by ourselves. Could you maybe consider trusting us a tiny bit to do what's in our best interest, whether we're individuals or business owners? There were businesses that voluntarily closed during the ice storm so they didn't put their employees' lives at risk, their customers' lives at risk, the owners' lives at risk. They made that decision voluntarily. Government didn't have to tell them squat. Now, there were some tragic stories. Some people went out and slipped on the ice. I talked about it yesterday. Horrifically tragic. Woman slipped on the ice and died a couple of days later. These things did happen. I don't know if that means we can't be trusted with the next ice storm, but I would say I don't think we're too stupid to operate our businesses and move about the state without new rules and giving you more power. So let us know, Daddy Tate, when we can be trusted again with all of our freedoms. I think, you know, maybe we should be expecting a new executive order within the week. He's going to huddle with Thomas Dobbs, and Thomas Dobbs will let him know what we can be trusted with. Maybe restaurants could open up to 80%. It's at 75 right now, but everybody's being pretty good. But Thomas Dobbs has always got his eye on you for any infractions or breaking the rules. Yeah, you know, all of these health authorities want to make really sure, yeah, cases are going down, hospitalizations are going down, deaths are going down, but that's not a cause for celebration. This is when we're at the most vulnerable. Thomas Dobbs gets especially worked up about that. That's when we let our guard down, and then we see another spike. It's really funny, the countries and the states that have let their guard down the entire time have had almost exactly the same experience. But apparently those charts did not ever make their way to Tate Reeves or Thomas Dobbs here and, you know, across the country and other places too. I mean, Tate's not the worst in the country. Your Cuomos, your Gavin Newsoms, your Michigans, they're certainly worse. But I got to tell you, I think the ice storm was a teachable moment that people will do what's in their best interest. If I looked at the traffic cams of the highways during the ice storm to see what the road conditions looked like, didn't see many cars. Saw some truckers who absolutely positively needed to get it there overnight. Thank God they were out there running, and sometimes they got stuck. You know what? That's life. They knew that was a possibility. Sometimes you got to get food and medicine and supplies around the country. Really got no choice. You got to go out there and brave bad road conditions and take a little bit of a risk. But for those people who didn't think the risk was worth taking, you know what they did? They voluntarily stayed at home, the same thing they would have done for the past year without a single executive order. From Donald Trump at the top, down to all the state governors, down to the mayors. I saw a Florida mayor today. He's threatening to arrest spring breakers who don't follow the rules. He came out and he said, well, he was very, very bold, and the media was really praising him. He came out and he said, we will arrest you. And his quote was, we will ruin your time here. This is for a bunch of college students who have a better chance of dying from regular spring break activities than from coronavirus. But the nut jobs still prevail. He's trying to close down the beaches in parts of Florida to stop anybody from having any unapproved, unstate-sanctioned fun. George Flags, I've made a lot of mentions to him and his totalitarian streak that he has developed during coronavirus between masks, and he even did a 24-hour curfew, a 24-hour lockdown in the ice during the ice storm. Madison, no lockdown. Jackson, as far as I know, they may still have the 10 o'clock curfew in for kids. I don't know. Can't keep up with all of the government mandates on all of us. But other cities didn't have to have this 24-hour curfew. I wonder if George Flagg saved a bunch of lives by telling all the stupid people in Vicksburg, who apparently are too dumb to not drive on icy roads. Maybe he feels like he saved some lives. But I did find, I found George Flagg's inspiration. And it's not Joe Biden. It is our leader to the north, Trudeau, up in Canada. I'm a big fan of Canada. Got a lot of relatives up there. Spent a lot of time in Canada growing up. They're a good neighbor. It's a nice country. It's fun to go visit. But boy, have they elected a nut job. Listen to, and as I say, this has got to be George Flagg's favorite world leader right now.
Starting next week, all international passenger flights must land only at the following four airports: Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto, and Montreal. In addition to the pre-boarding test we already acquire, as soon as possible in the coming weeks, we will be introducing mandatory PCR testing at the airport for people returning to Canada. Travelers will then have to wait for up to 3 days at an approved hotel for their test results at their own expense, which is expected to be more than $2,000.
Are you listening to this? This is the formerly free country of Canada. When you come in, you're forced to take a PCR test. No symptoms, no suspicion of being sick. You feel fantastic. You're forced, and then you've got to go to one of the state-approved, one of the government concentration camps at $2,000 a head to wait for your test results.
Those with negative test results will then be able to quarantine at home under significantly increased surveillance and enforcement.
So you come in, you test negative. You're a threat to nobody. You have no disease. You're not communicable. You're not sick. Yet you're still forced to go home and quarantine and be surveilled.
Those with positive tests will be immediately required to quarantine in designated government facilities to make sure they're not carrying variants of potential concern. We will also, in the coming weeks, be requiring non-essential travelers to show a negative test before entry at the land border with the U.S., and we're working to stand up additional testing requirements for land travel.
Oh, you got to have the land travel restrictions, right? I mean, you got to do the same. Don't you have to do the same thing at every point of entry? I mean, I know this COVID is very clever, right? It apparently is in restaurants. It's really bad after 10 o'clock, but it's not a big problem before 10 o'clock. That's why restaurants could stay open until 10 or nightclubs. COVID's very clever. It's very dangerous when you're walking to your table in a restaurant, but it leaves you alone once you sit down to eat, right? We found out that COVID is very, you're immune to it at a Black Lives Matter protest. You're prone to it at the Sturgis motorcycle rally. You know, this COVID thing, it is, we've never dealt with one this clever. But it's I just love this air travel. And why the left and the airlines, why anybody in Canada is putting up with this. And I will tell you right now, most of my relatives up in Canada, pretty lefty. A lot of Canada's pretty lefty, I got to tell you. Pretty liberal people, but that's okay. I don't hate them. I disagree with them. why they're putting up with this. The guy is putting people in concentration camps. I don't know. Please do not forward that clip to George Flags. He's got that bridge coming in from Louisiana over there in Vicksburg. He may set up some brown shirts on that bridge and start getting some quarantines going if you're coming from another state. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I've gotten emails from people, seen a lot in conservative media about this new $1.9 trillion spending bill and all the pork and the Democratic wish list and stuff in it. It is an abomination as a bill, of course. It will be funneling money to states. I mean, it's just, you know, as an observer of all of this stuff, as I say, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat. As an observer to this stuff, all I see is the government hurting everybody and then hurting us more by trying to fix what they started in the first place. I mean, the states that are in financial trouble, just what they've experienced around coronavirus, it's their fault. I mean, from the feds down to the state and local levels, they've inflicted their own wounds. And somehow, I guess people on the left and some people on the right believe that the government needs to come in and save us from the damage that the government incurred in the first place. The government causes the damage and then comes in and does something damaging to try to fix the damage that they did. It's one of the strangest, most bizarre things I've ever seen, and everybody accepts it's normal. But so I've seen a lot on conservative media about this bill, rightfully full of pork, full of the wish list for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. About 10% of this is supposedly going towards actual COVID stuff. The rest is full of a bunch of pork. Here's the issue I have and what I try to kind of – I try to plant seeds in people's brains, you know. This is an outsider's view on the political system that most people are involved in, the red team versus blue team, or the Trump team versus the Pelosi team, you know, all of these camps. I don't remember a lot of conservative media and Republicans and Trump supporters having much of a problem with the $2.2 trillion bill that Trump signed. I didn't get any emails about that. Now, eventually, some people, I think Rand Paul and Matt Gaetz or somebody else, put out some of these things where we knew that they were funding the Smithsonian and some, you know, hermaphrodite toad research and stuff like that in these bills. So there was, you know, kind of the typical, I mean, any government program has got a bunch in it. But I just find it interesting. You're welcome to email me stuff about how bad this bill is and how much pork the Democrats have put into it. But I really wish you would have said the same thing when Donald Trump was signing the $2.2 trillion bill last year. Donald Trump signed the executive order that kicked off the madness around coronavirus. And then he signed the spending bill to bankrupt the United States to address the problems caused by the original sin of the executive order and the emergency declaration around coronavirus. But nobody really had a problem with that. Trump gets a pass on that. I went and looked and just did a quick search this morning. This was after that $2 trillion bill was signed. There is an, quote, enormous amount of spending porn, unquote, in the $2.2 trillion coronavirus relief package passed by Congress and signed by President Trump, according to a Republican senator. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy said that the unprecedented spending legislation will help people and their businesses in his state, including New Orleans, which is becoming a COVID hotspot, but noticed that his constituents were not happy that there appeared to be so many non-essential items in the package. And this even ignores the 4 years of nearly $1 trillion annual deficits that Trump signed. And so my point is I'm with you. But there's about 35% of the people out there that are Republicans or Trump supporters, right? Of the total population. And probably more of those, that 35% are Trump supporters rather than Republicans at this point. And then there's about 35% that are Democrats. And then you got about 30% in the middle that are either independent or, be honest with you, they just don't care, don't pay attention. They're leading their lives. Kind of unfortunate. We kind of need everybody at this point to right the ship. But, you know, that's just life. So if you're 35%, whether you're on the right with Trump and the Republicans or you're on the left with the Democrats, piping up only when the other side is doing something is getting you nowhere. Because you allow your guy to do it. We're noticing, case in point, right now. Apparently, Joe Biden has got kids in cages. Well, the left freaked out about that when it was happening during the Trump administration, right? Well, if your goal is to keep kids out of cages, and I'm not weighing in on that issue in any side, I'm just using one of these things. If your real goal, if you're really this kind-hearted, sweet liberal that just hates to see a child in a cage, then you fight every time you see a child in a cage, not just when you blame a Republican for having a child in a cage. See, you didn't fix anything, did you? Because now you're allowing Joe Biden to do it. And I will go back to Tucker Carlson's quote yesterday, partisan makes you stupid. And it apparently is true. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you today?
Hey, Robert, how are you?
They're not cages. They're detainment facilities now.
Yeah, safety pods.
They were just depends on who's in charge and who's doing the labeling as far as what they are.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
But, you know, to quote, first of all, question, when Trump was in office, didn't the debt go up like $8 trillion in 4 years?
Yep. Okay. Some of the biggest deficits we've ever seen.
Yeah. And to quote President Obama, elections have consequences, and they won. So Washington is lost.
It's gone. Yeah.
It's lost. Get out of the way. Don't hurt yourself with it, because it ain't changing.
Well, and the reason it doesn't change, the reason it doesn't change is because of this partisanship, because Republicans won't hold Republicans accountable for massive spending. They keep voting them back in. I mean, look at Mississippi.
Absolutely.
We put somebody into office, they stay there for 20 years. Look at what's happening with the debt and the deficits and the endless wars and the education system. I mean, everybody acknowledges we've got real problems in the United States, yet we keep sending the same people up. We won't hold, because we just want to hold the other side accountable. And so nothing ever changes. And that's why Washington is where it is right now. And that's why it will never be fixed, because people refuse to turn on their own team. They get so invested. Their whole personality is involved in having that bumper sticker on the back of their car. And they don't dare let their friends know that, oops, maybe my guy's bad too.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you mentioned a while ago, you mentioned Trudeau in Canada and Biden and them have already floated out about restrictions for people traveling to Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's
why?
Yeah.
Because Florida didn't toe the line. Now, it's okay if you've got an elderly grandparent, take them on up to New York and they'll drop them off at a facility that's infected with COVID so they can go ahead and die. And that's okay. We're going to live with that.
Right.
Never mind the restrictions and all the crap they've done in California that didn't curb anything. They're the most infected place in the world with all of their lockdowns. But by God, if you're going to go to Florida, you're going to need the federal government's permission.
I just cannot imagine being a Californian and suspending all of my rights for a year. And instead of being upset with that, I focus all my attention on Florida flouting the rules. I mean, that's mental illness.
Better. You're in California or New York with all the crap they've got, and they're going to get mad at Chuck Schumer came out and dogged Ted Cruz for going.
Yeah.
Schumer.
It is just bizarre.
Hey, Chuck, what's going on back at your place?
Baby? Right.
We don't care. Let's get mad at Ted Cruz for going on vacation.
Well, look, this is what children do. I mean, children, and this is my big problem with this two-party system. It has turned us all into infants. When you are children, if you got a little brother, And the two of you are doing something you shouldn't do. And one of you gets caught. The first thing you do is you point to the other guy. Yeah, but Tommy's the one who started it. Tommy actually ate more cookies than I did. Tommy, you know, this is the level of political discourse in this country, is always trying to place blame on somebody else and never accepting responsibility on our own side.
Well, you know, the first two words of any excuse or blame is yeah, but.
Right.
When somebody starts a sentence with yeah, but, you know there's an excuse or a blame coming from somewhere.
Right.
It's not going to be an acceptance.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm incensed by this $1.9 trillion. I mean, I don't know what to say about it at this point. The precedent was set, and it was passed by a Republican Congress, I mean, a Republican Senate, and signed by a Republican president. It's just that nobody sent me a bunch of stuff on that. But I've gotten a bunch of things, you know, people pointing out that this bill is really, really bad. And the reason we have this bill is because we had the last bill.
This one's full of pork. The one that the Republicans did, it was all necessary.
Yeah, it was necessary. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That was all legitimate stuff.
Insanity.
This is just full of nonsense.
Yeah, it's just nuts. Hey, appreciate the call. I got to run to a break. Thanks. I'm just saying, again, you know, I'm an outsider. I'm a weirdo on the radio. There's no doubt about it. I'm just not going to carry water. And when I criticize some of these people, like the Sean Hannity's out there, this is one of the reasons, because they have led you down this primrose path. Sean Hannity is one of those little kids who goes, look over there. Look what they're doing. And there's plenty to point out. I mean, I'm is just disgusted by the left and the spending that they do. And they're worse on spending than the Republicans. There's no doubt about it. But the Republicans are pretty bad, and I'm going to talk about that in just a second. You got the socialist on the left, and you got socialism light on the right. The Republicans now have come out with their own minimum wage plan to battle back at the $15 an hour crazy, almost cussed there, horrible plan by the Democrat Party. So instead of the Republicans making the case, which I'll make constantly, the federal minimum wage is absolutely asinine. What it takes to live in California, in San Francisco, versus Kosciuszko, Mississippi, is completely different. Yet they try to solve this all through Washington, D.C., with this federally mandated minimum wage to address a problem that we haven't really had in this country for probably 100 years. And I think there should be absolutely no minimum wage, and many people hearing that can't wrap their minds around that. Well, you want to starve people? Look, I don't have time today to make the argument, explain to you why minimum wage is not needed. But instead of making the case that a minimum wage damages jobs and all this other stuff, the Republicans have just said, oh, okay, well, we'll increase it. We just don't want to increase it as much as the Democrats. And I'll tell you where that's going to end up. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
You know, if you've ever stumbled upon this show, either now for the first time or at any point during the last 4 years, I don't make any secrets about the fact that I'm a libertarian guy. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I can't stand all of them. I just want to be left alone. Let free markets and freedom be the way. For some reason, that's radical now. People think I'm a weirdo. But we've tried it your way for a while now. Got to tell you, where I sit, you're not impressing me with your system. And I've made the case, particularly over the last years, we've watched these spending bills come out and, you know, Republican governors, Republican presidents, Republican congresses, you know, passing these huge spending bills, growing the size of government, that essentially we have a decision to make on the two political parties between socialism on the left, where they've completely lost their mind and are openly talking about socialism, or the whispered socialism light on the Republican side. That's our choices now. GOP Senators Tom Cotton and Mitt Romney unveiled a proposal to raise the federal minimum wage to $10 per hour by 2025, countering a $15 hourly increase baked into the Democrats' $1.9 trillion stimulus package. So the Republicans can't make the case against minimum wage, which is really easy. I'll do that. Maybe tomorrow when I have the guys from Americans for Prosperity in. According to nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, raising minimum wage to $15 would result in 1.4 million jobs lost by 2025, though 900,000 people would be lifted out of poverty. Now, can I add to that that prices across the board will go up for all of us, even those of you who get a little raise? And what, you know, as I say to my liberal friends and Democratic friends, usually my biggest argument with them is economics. Because somebody with a good heart who thinks they're really championing the people with all of their government policies, I'll explain. I mean, all of you get raises. And the thing is that, you know, I've owned a small business. And I've owned a small business where I paid people $12 an hour, where my competitors were paying $8 to $9 an hour. I did it to get better employees, and it made my life so easy because they felt like they were getting paid well, so they wanted to keep the job, so they did a good job, and it really made my life simple. It was worth paying a little bit more. Should something like this, whether it's Tom Cotton and Mitt Romney's $10 an hour, go up, that means everybody that I was paying 12 that were doing substantially better than other my competitors, now I got to take them up to 15 or 18. That would have started to hurt. And I didn't have a lot of pricing power to pass that on to customers, so it would have hurt. I would have had to make some cuts. But it's like the Democrats want to increase corporate taxes, and the left cheers, yeah, we're going to stick it to Wall Street and stick it to all these businesses. Guess who pays corporate taxes? It's not the businesses. Hint, it's not the companies. I mean, they might write the check, but corporate taxes are paid by the consumer. You do understand they bake that into the cost of everything, right? And so with the Democrats, I go back and forth. Are they so stupid that they don't understand these things? Or it's probably more likely that they understand, but they just know that their voters are too stupid to figure it out. And so they get credit for raising wages or raising this or raising that and handing stuff out. And they don't get the blame for things like inflation when they come. And then it did strike me, just as I saw Tom Cotton and Mitt Romney's name and when I see Nancy Pelosi and stuff, it is interesting to me that they're battling over, you know, pay the people entering the workforce, $10 an hour, $15 an hour. Why is it that senators have to make $180,000 a year? The average American salary is $49,764 a year in 2020. Why is it that they need to make almost quadruple the average American salary at Washington, D.C.? And that's before you throw in the generous bennies that all of these Congress critters get on top of that. It just seems to me, I mean, they're well over $200,000 a year in compensation. And for these people to be up there making decisions on what a small business owner has to pay his staff sickens me to my core. Republicans should be making the case on why minimum wage in the first place is unnecessary and damaging rather than ending up at $12 an hour, which is what they want.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday, so we take a little divergence into another topic of health, which I think is shown to be pretty important over the past year in Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. I start every show by explaining to everybody that I am not a doctor I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. I'm not an immunologist. I'm not a virologist. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a nothing. I'm not even a researcher, except I'm an internet researcher. And I read, find experts that I feel that I can trust after years of advice that I have taken and worked out well for me. And I listen a lot to them. We have a situation in the United States where the mantra is, and look, a couple of things in this segment may sound a little political. I don't like to do politics in this show because I know that there are some people who tune in to this hour that may not agree with me politically. And I don't want to muddy the waters with politics on this stuff. But some things are, you know, we're realizing that the status quo politically has not been serving us. I think that it's been pretty much kind of a mass awakening over the last 10 years, particularly the last few years, that the status quo of the American medical system is not working for us either. And this is another thing we need to wake up to and demand some level of change. I tell you, it's easier to just take care of your own health. I call it escaping the medical system. Here's a statistic here. Health expenditures per capita for the U.S. is $11,100, while Japan's is only $4,800, despite the fact that Japan's median citizen is 10 years older, their life expectancy is longer, their infant mortality rate is lower, and they have about the same number of physicians per capita. So, I'm just saying, when you hear this, we have the greatest medical system in the world. We have the most expensive. We have the shiniest. We have the most money flowing through the system. But as far as quality, and I will certainly say for health outcomes, we're not exactly circling the bullseye here. We are not alone. I ran across this, and this is about Australia. You can decide for yourself whether or not you think this is appropriate for here. And again, this show is not anti-doctor. I have had a lot of doctors on air. I ran across a doctor who's a researcher down at LSU Medical Center down in New Orleans that a friend of mine works for. She sent me a clip of him talking about diet and things like Alzheimer's and other brain diseases. There are just some fantastic doctors out there. But our medical system has trapped even the good doctors in what I believe is very similar to what this Australian doctor is recounting here. And I wanted to read this to you because this is a doctor who understands that his system is not serving the people. He said, over the past 2 to 3 years when working in medical practices, I've seen no such thing as team spirit. I found modern medical clinics in Australia to be like workhorses, where the doctors are consumed with input and output of patients. The only thing that the practice owners care about is a throughput of patients to give an indecent profit. So doctors effectively become part of a cattle market that accepts as many patients as possible to be treated with a preset path of investigations, drugs, and referrals, and are quickly released. Beyond that, the doctors must also have good marks on social media to make sure that their patients return. This medical meat market lacks the previous dedication of the medical profession to treating or caring about patients. It seems that the whole system has become so computerized and automated that it has become the fast food modernization of medicine. Apparently, there is no such thing as medical practice in the absolute sense anymore. Caring goes out the window. Nowadays, a patient arrives and is in and out within 5 minutes, and all the patient gets is a drug, often an antidepressant. I'm going to talk about that a little bit today, too. Considering our modern world, I realize that this new concept of medical practice is part and parcel of what is happening to the larger society. It seems that we no longer have a society that even cares about itself, and hence why I do this segment every hour, every Wednesday for an hour to try to get you to at least care for yourself and for your family. In fact, this is going on in the article here. He says, in fact, there's no such thing as a partnership in medicine anymore, even in functional medicine. This has gone out the window because society and particularly the medical system frowns upon anything to do with mind, body, or with healing itself. People are eating the wrong kinds of food because doctors have not been taught nutrition in medical school and have not learned that food is one of the most powerful therapeutic agents. People are eating themselves to death by the toxic foods that they get from their local stores. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, unemployment, marginalization, and alienation due to the need to keep separate have increased and have accelerated to the extent that there is a significant increase in mental illness as well. Now, again, this is a guy in Australia, but I read through his account of why he's essentially been booted out of the medical, because he talked about these things publicly. And we've seen that with a lot of doctors here in the U.S. that have come out against all of these pharmaceutical interventions for COVID, whether it is the masks, the lockdowns, the social distancing, closing the schools, whether it's hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, quercetin. They've essentially been run out of business, largely, a lot of times, by medical boards within their states. They're attacked. Their licenses are stripped. At the very least, they're censored by YouTube and Google and Twitter. They are marginalized. They are called kooks and crazies. Meanwhile, this pharmaceutical machine just keeps churning and churning, as I said before. You've got pharmaceutical heads taking heat from Congress today, whether or not they will produce enough vaccines. And you can rest assured that they will, because they are able to sell what is essentially a brand new product that was not on their bottom line in 2020, that carries no liability protection, and they didn't even have to test. Of course they're going to produce this thing. It is nothing but cash in to the pharmaceutical companies. So I wanted to read that recounting to you and to take a look and see if this doctor has experienced. And I've talked to doctors here who feel the same way. And that's what we've got. We've got a fast food medicine here, largely, when it comes to just health. Now, Tiger Woods, he's being put back together right now by surgeons out in California, and I bet you he's in some good hands. They can do such remarkable things with putting together a broken body. But when it comes to keeping you healthy, that is on you at this point, unless you have one of those rare doctors who has actually studied nutrition. Strange that they leave that out of medical school. When I come back, I'm going to talk about another thing that we're facing here. I ran across an article in the New York Post about increasing male infertility. We've got a serious problem with this. You're going to be stunned by some of the statistics of what's happening to fertility in our society. And I'm going to dovetail this and maybe intro it with this new thing that's come out that's saying that 1 in 6 of Generation Z are now identifying as LGBTQ, ATP, whatever all the things are. There is something to that culturally. I don't want to bring that up in this topic of the show. We can do culture wars and the political segment of my show. But there is another thing that people need to be looking at if you are raising children. This Gen Z, there's definitely a culture war on. There's definitely a media encouragement of diverse genders and identities and sexual proclivities. That is certainly a real thing. But there is also another thing that is going on in this country. If you're raising children, you have grandchildren, you're thinking about getting pregnant or having children in the future, there's something else you need to pay attention to if you don't want children to be as confused as apparently many in Generation Z are.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
We have got a we've got a reproductive problem in this country on a whole host of different fronts, and I wanted to talk about it today because it is something that I believe that you can act upon yourself within your family if you've got children, setting them up to go out in the world. I've got a couple of 19-year-olds at some point. I hope that they will want to get married and have children. But this is another thing. We talk a lot here about nutrition, supplementation, and the foods and things we're eating. I'll start real quick by talking about this headline. And again, I'm not doing this politically. I'm doing this nutritionally. This headline has come out that 1 in 6 of Generation Z is now identifying as something other than just straight, or somewhere on the LGBTQ, ATP, is that, am I getting that right? The spectrum of that, their gender and their sexuality is fluid now. Now, I will allow that a lot of this is culture type stuff, But I don't want to get into that because there's another piece of it, and that's more for the political side of the show. But what we are eating is having an effect on sexual health of Americans and probably people around the world. But with this startling statistic of 1 out of every 6 in Gen Z identifying as something other than straight, you may blame only the culture war, but I encourage you to take in another piece. I pulled this up real quick, like as the last commercial was running before the break. There are chemicals in our foods called gender-bending chemicals. Gender-bending chemicals. And just first thing it pulled up, again, I did this in about 10 seconds. And you can, what I could do, you could go on and look at, go online and do an internet search for list of gender-bending chemicals. Gender-bending chemicals mimicking the female hormone estrogen can disrupt the development of baby boys, suggests the first evidence linking certain chemicals in everyday plastics to effects in humans. Alex Jones, pretty brash guy, got into a lot of trouble. I mean, people making a lot of fun of him because he was talking about atrazine. Atrazine is a chemical that is used. I believe it's either a pesticide or an herbicide. And they've done studies on this that it, you know, he has a very famous thing that went around. It's making the frogs gay. And people make fun of him for saying that. But he was quoting real studies that showed that it actually turned frogs into a different gender when subjected to this atrazine. And your children are eating this right now. Or if you're pregnant, you're eating this stuff right now. And I would encourage you. And again, I don't care what you are. I'm a live or let live guy. We've got a lot of big problems. I mean, I don't care if you're white, black, small, big, Republican, Democrat. I don't care. If I have a good, positive interaction with you as a human being, that's really all I care about. But if you want to look at these things and think that this is only a cultural war and that you're going to solve this through tackling entertainment and tackling policies, and I mean, I agree with you. Those things are just bizarre propaganda to our children that is harming them mentally. But you're leaving out a big piece of the puzzle if you are not taking these foods and these chemicals out of your kids' bodies in utero and as they grow and develop into and through puberty. Because I think it is having a real effect on the sexual health of our kids. So I would encourage people to take a look at those things if you are got small children, considering having small children, got small grandchildren, any of these things. They do not need these chemicals in their food, and you can do away with them. And that leads me into this other article here. This is increasing male infertility in this country. And I want you to listen to some of these statistics again. You know, everybody says things like, well, you know, I'm not going to sit around and eat carrots all the time. You know, I don't want to take my health seriously. It's kind of cool to have a big round belly. I pat it when we're at a barbecue. Well, I mean, that's all fine and well, but particularly when it comes to intergenerational stuff, we may want to start paying attention to what we're eating here. Sperm counts in Western countries have dropped by more than 50% since the 1970s. Now, I beg anybody to explain to me how this is somehow genetic. Was it prior to the 1970s only the people who were less fertile were procreating? It seems to me something happened since the 1970s. Huh? What could it be? And I believe it's something like 98% of all chemicals that have ever been manufactured, you know, put into a food supply and stuff came since the 1960s. We've had a chemical assault since the 1960s, 1970s on us. 50% drop. At the same time, men's problems with conceiving are going up. Erectile dysfunction is increasing and testosterone levels are declining by 1% every year. The current state of reproductive affairs can't continue much longer without threatening human survival, warns Mount Sinai fertility scientist Dr. Shanna Swan in her book Countdown. She says it's a global existential crisis. Now, when I hear people talk about the climate change, where they've gotten these predictions wrong over and over again, I got to tell you, this is an existential threat if you're reducing the fertility of people. And again, I don't bring this up just as a, hey, look, we got a big problem here. This is one of those things that you, at a family level, if you want to have grandkids, if you want to have kids, if you want your kids to have kids, then these are things that you can influence yourself. You can't control all of society, but we can protect the fertility of our own families. In 2017, This Dr. Swan sounded the alarm with a meta-analysis of 40,000 men that showed that sperm count fell a whopping 59% between 1973 and 2011. The United States has a total birth rate that is 16% below what it needs to replace itself. Though there are obvious factors at play, couples are conceiving later and opting to have smaller families, Swan argues that the issues run deeper than personal choice. Rates of miscarriage are on the rise, and girls are experiencing earlier and earlier puberties, in some cases before the age of 8. Quote, in some parts of the world, the average 20-something woman today is less fertile than her grandmother was at 35, Swan writes. Now, it's interesting to me. I have a personal connection to this idea of these little girls going into puberty before the age of 8. That is not a genetic thing. This is a chemically induced thing. Hormones in our food. Chemicals in our food. And that is what set me on this path some 15 years ago. Was reading that statistic that little girls were going into puberty at 8, and I had a 4-year-old daughter at the time, and I said, not on my watch. What do I need to do? I don't want that to happen to my daughter. And that switched me over to organic and took me down this path. Now I haven't had a sick day since. Not only do men today have less sperm than their fathers, but they also have lower testosterone levels. A 2006 study showed that a 65-year-old man in 2002 would have testosterone levels that are 15% lower than a 65-year-old man in 1987. A similar drop has been noted in young adults and adolescents, according to a 2020 Urology Times Journal article. Sexual desire has followed a similar path. Quote, a massive sexual slump is underway due to declines in people's sex drives and interest in sexual activity, Swan writes. Men now seek help for erectile dysfunction on average 7 years earlier than they did in 2005. And 26% of men who deal with it are under the age of 40. So what's going on? This is this researcher who's studied this, 40,000 people. She says, many of us simply eat too many things that are not good for us, move too little, drink too much alcohol, and engage in habits that actively hindering our reproductive abilities. Now, for the solution side of things, and again, these are things that I hope I reach some people who want to have a family. And I'm somebody who also has some experience in this because my wife at the time and I went through in vitro because of problems conceiving. And it worked out fabulously. Boy, girl, twins, are you kidding me? Got one of each, one fell swoop, first try. You got to love it. But not everybody has that luck. We had a lot of stories of people that went to 2, 3, 4 rounds of in vitro. I will say, if you're going into medical practice right now, if you're thinking about going into medical school and you're looking for a financially rewarding, very secure specialization in medicine, go into fertility practice. They make a killing, and according to these statistics, unless people start paying attention to what they're shoving in their pie hole, you've got business for days and days. Research shows that couples who follow the Mediterranean diet, whole grains, good fats, lots of veggies, while undergoing IVF treatments, had a 40% higher likelihood of conceiving than those who didn't. Swan also urges people to buy organic to avoid pesticides and herbicides that may mess with male hormones, especially items that tend to be most contaminated, like strawberries, spinach, kale, apples, and grapes. And what you'll notice on all of those, these are things that you eat the skins. I've said this many times, if you're going to switch to some things organic, focus on those things that you eat the outsides. That's where a lot of the pesticides and herbicides are found. An avocado's got a good hard shell, maybe not as important, but it's also only a few cents more to get them, so I just get them when I can. But I don't worry as much about those, but I'm not eating a non-organic apple. I'll just tell you, I'm just not. I'm not eating non-organic spinach, stuff with these leaves, because you cannot wash all of this stuff off. She also suggests that people avoid any animal product that is not organic or try to buy animal products labeled as raised without antibiotics or, quote, no added hormones. She also urges people to avoid cleaners and skincare products that are antibacterial. How many people did we sterilize in 2020? I've told you, 2021 is going to be the year that we see the headlines. Rise of the superbugs. Because we tried to sterilize everything around us. And I'm going to get into that again in just a little bit in an interview here. Advises people to avoid cleaners and skincare products that are antibacterial and favor products labeled paraben-free and phthalate-free. In addition, she urges ditching vinyl shower curtains, banishing air fresheners, and using non-toxic household cleaners to dodge some of these hormone-disrupting chemicals. So, what you have seen since the 1970s in this country is more chemicals in our environment, more chemicals in our food, and a 59% decrease in the sperm count of men, along with a 15 to 20% decrease in testosterone with men, which, I got to tell you, might tell you a little something about the direction we're headed in. You want to talk about the soy boys? Well, there you go. These are bad directions, but they're things that you, again, this show is all about empowering people to take control of their own health, and now you can take control of your own fertility by getting rid of some of these things. Oh, I can't do without my Febreze. I'll tell you, it sounds fruity. I know. Guys, don't judge me, but I like air fresheners in the house, too, but you can take water and baking soda and like essential oils, whichever one you want, and put it into a spray bottle and shake it up and put it in there, and it's like Febreze. Not as strong. You got to do it more often, but I'd rather do that than constantly inhale some of these air fresheners. We are living in a toxic soup. It is going to extinct our species, apparently. I mean, eventually, we're not replacing ourselves right now. And that is a bad trend to be on if you want to maintain a civilization. You and your family, you can actually do things to control this. As the rest of society goes, those of us who can still procreate, we may rule the planet. There you go. I've set you up. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. One of the most tragic things I've seen nutritionally in this country is what is happening to the kids. And if you're under probably 30 years old, maybe 40 years old, as I've just got through explaining, we've been under this kind of toxic assault, chemical assault, for a while. But you know, particularly if you're under 30 years old, I mean, you may be having health problems from the diet that you had when you were younger, and you don't know it. And it's not your parents' fault. They didn't know it either. We've been told that we have the greatest food supply system in the world. We got the FDA. We got the USDA. We got all these watchdogs to make sure everything's safe. And yet our health keeps declining. And I'm just looking around and saying, maybe we should rethink the things we're consuming. But at some point, parents need to wake up a little bit and say, I have got a lot of input on how my children develop. And I ran across in that kind of mode of thinking. I'm just so sympathetic to this idea. I mean, this is, and again, look, I implore people to change their diets and get exercise and make sure you're doing some resistance. I mean, I do all these things. I hate when I don't finish a sentence, get some resistance exercise. I do these things to try to spur some action in people, because if you're not feeling good, you should be. Your natural state of your body that God gave you is good health. And we are unknowingly sabotaging it with things like diet sodas and these chemicals in our foods. But that didn't change me when I was in my early 30s. It was my kids that got me to make a change. I was too stupid to do it for myself and probably too lazy to do it for myself. And so again, when I saw this study of little girls going into puberty at 8, I said, I don't want that to happen to my daughter. I changed this to organic. All of a sudden, all my health conditions started just disappearing like magic. All the little chronic nagging things I had started disappearing. So for the kids, it seems to be kind of a pressure point. One thing we're seeing a lot of is kids' behavioral issues, a lot of ADHD. Well, they got a pill for that. Don't worry. Kids that are defiant, kids that are gender bending, but also autism. Now, I may not be speaking to a lot of people with autistic children. Back when I was a kid, I remember, I think, one kid in my elementary school that had needed special classes. And now each school has got teachers, multiple teachers, lined up for kids that need special assistance. Autism has gone from something like a 1 in many thousand kids to 1 in 36 kids. Now, part of this, I will say, because I want to be completely as objective as I possibly can be on any topic I cover, I think a lot of that is based on diagnosis. Now they have an autism spectrum, right? So where we would have seen somebody really impaired when I was a kid that needed some special classes, now there's so many varying degrees of stuff that they diagnose in terms of learning disabilities that many of the kids that were my good friends who might not have processed information the same way I did would today be considered on the spectrum. So there is that, but also, again, our children's health is declining in the way that adult health is declining, the way diabetes is exploding, and autism is getting more of a thing. And I will tell you, whether you think it's vaccines, I think there is certainly enough evidence to look very seriously at that, but also other things. And when it comes to autism, a lot of the therapies that people use, I'm going to read a couple stories here about people who have unlocked their children using different tools outside of just, you know, I think a lot of people, and I wasn't faced with this challenge. I had tremendous respect for any parent who ends up with a special needs child. I can't imagine the work that is and the love that goes into caring for that person. But what is frustrating to me to watch is that the medical community ignores a lot of things where people just have to accept, well, your child is going to be incommunicative for the rest of his life. He's got autism. You got unlucky. Here's the deal. And yet I see people using nutritional strategies on documentaries and in stories and in research papers that are getting their children's back. And I think, why is nobody talking about this? And I've got a tremendous interview here. If you want to email me and get my show notes, it's MikeMadison@WYEB.com. If you've got a child with behavioral issues, learning issues, or autism, or know somebody who does, there's a guy who has been studying the gut microbiome and these issues. And it's an hour-long interview. I do not have time to play on this show, but people should see it because he talks a lot about probiotics and enzymes and the difference that it makes to these kids. And he talks about sterilizing our environments. That's not helping these kids with their autism is notoriously associated to stomach problems. A lot of autistic kids and kids with behavioral issues will have stomach problems, a lot of constipation. And it's because their gut bacteria is not working well. I wanted to run through just a little bit of this story here because just to know that there is hope for those people out there. In their book, Underestimated, An Autism Miracle, J.B. Handley and his teenage son, Jamie Handley, share the triumphant tale of a father and his son's life-changing journey of hope as they bravely navigate the road of unlocking Jamie from his self-described, quote, prison of silence. And again, I've got this article in my show notes, along with what they used to find the kids. I'm not going to read a lot from this, but what ended up happening was this is an incommunicative kid. I believe he is 17 now, and just during COVID lockdowns, when the family had more time to dedicate to his health, they started trying to find anything that would help this child. I mean, they were spending all this time with this incommunicative child or non-communicative child, and they looked for new tools. They ended up unlocking this kid, and what it turned out was that this kid's brain was working great for 17 years. He was locked in himself and unable to communicate. And they found a course, and I don't know if this is right for everybody. I'm not an autism expert by any stretch of the imagination, but it's this IAC. Let me pull up my www.i-asc.org, and it is a way to use spelling as a way to communicate that apparently has had some levels of success. But to think that this child for 17 years inside his brain was thinking normal thoughts, he just couldn't get them out. And obviously for 17 years he's consulted all kinds of experts, and nobody has been able to unlock this child. This child has come so far out of his shell that not only can he communicate now, and I believe he does it through spelling, this was not a documentary, but he wrote part of the book that they have put out. And he says here, they quote him, one of the researchers who was talking to him, ask him what his message would be to everybody, and this is what this kid who has been unable to communicate for 17 years, he said, quote, "I think we all need to appreciate that we've underestimated everyone like me. We don't act normal by your standards, but we are normal on the inside. I mean that the world treats us like we're stupid, but we're not." This is a kid who could not communicate a year ago, apparently. But he found this course. And when I come back, I'm going to play a little bit from this researcher who has spent, I think, 15 years studying the gut microbiome and its effect on our health. In particular, his emphasis is really towards children, their behavioral issues. But this is the same for adults, for depression, for anxiety, for anything that affects the brain. If you were ignoring your gut, if you're eating bad foods, if you're eating pesticides and herbicides that disrupt the good and bad bacteria balance that you're supposed to have in your stomach, you're setting yourself up for these other problems. And then they just give us a pill for them. And last I saw, we're at 250 million prescriptions per year for antidepressants in the United States. How's that working out for us? Not to mention all these kids that suffer in silence because people don't understand this. But this is a researcher who's done 15 years of work in this. I think it's tremendously powerful. And I don't know, this is kind of a niche subject. I like to cover the bigger, broader things. But if this can reach anybody to give somebody with a child with behavioral issues or autism itself some level of hope and healing going forward, I hate to always say that, if it reaches one person stuff, but in this case, golly, I'd like to see people get their kids back. We'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
Final segment here on Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. You got to get your gut in order. If your kids are having behavioral issues, this is somewhere you ought to look. You can do all the other emotional therapies and things like that too. But I think if you're neglecting this, you're fighting a battle maybe that you don't have to fight. I get a lot of people that ask me about supplements. What brands to use? What kinds to use? That's difficult to answer, and I'm not an expert in that. I need to bring somebody on to show who is. Probiotics are a tough one. Probiotics are good, but I think they are not all created equal. You need to find a brand that's good for you. If you want to email me for my show notes, this guy's put out something that he thinks does a great job. He's got 15 years of research in it. I looked up the products. They're not that expensive for what you get. But if you've got kids with behavioral issues, or if you're having problems too, I mean, but problems with depression or anxiety, these kinds of things, the gut affects these things. And we're eating a lot of things that are destroying what is supposed to be the natural balance in our gut. This guy's name is Kiran Krishnan. He's a research microbiologist, and he is talking to a woman who's got a site. Her site is Naturally Recovering autism.com. If nothing else, if you've got friends or family who are dealing with a child that maybe have some learning disabilities or somewhere on the autism spectrum, I encourage them to take a look at it. The testimonials on this site are great. She's got a program for helping kids heal, to get more out of them, to bring them out of this autistic shell that they're in. But this guy, this Kiran Krishnan, is the microbiologist talking about gut health and all kinds of issues that we're facing.
And so, you know, for the parents listening, maybe it would be good for us to start out even with the beginning, like parents are thinking, well, what triggers this? Why would my child have an issue with their gut?
Yeah. You know, there's a number of factors, and more often than not, it's multifactorial. So it's not any one thing necessarily. From a 30,000 foot view perspective and from a philosophical perspective, we'll start there. And then we'll mention some very specific things that can impact your child's gut, your gut, and so on. But from a philosophical standpoint, we are essentially a walking, talking rainforest, right? We've got a very specific, complex, and yet kind of tenacious ecosystem that we're built by, that exists in us, on us, and basically all around us. And we need these microbes that make up our ecosystem to function properly. We've, in fact, outsourced a huge amount of our biochemical and metabolic requirements to the microbes themselves. One example of that is just looking at our genetic elements. We've got somewhere around 22,000 functional genes. When you compare that to like an earthworm that has 38,000 functional genes or so, you know, we are far less sophisticated in our own right than an earthworm is, right? But the reason why we can do what we do is because we've got over 2.5-3 million microbial genes in our system. And so we count on them as this amazing reservoir of capacity and capability. And we've co-evolved with the microbes in and on us, where we've now outsourced so many of our required functions to them. And if they're not there or they are disrupted in some way, then they cannot reciprocate those needs back to us. And then we see it in many different symptomologies. And for the most part, you see it in virtually every chronic illness that we deal with, metabolic syndrome, right? Diabetes, obesity, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, polycystic ovarian syndrome, all of these things, cancers, all of these things can be tied back to some sort of disruption in our ecosystem. So the ecosystem is incredibly important. And the ecosystem is not necessarily designed to be resilient, because throughout the course of human evolution, it has evolved in a relatively microbial friendly world. Now we've taken this ecosystem and we've put it in an antimicrobial world, right? Everything around us is essentially antimicrobial, right? Most personal care products that we put on us, whether it's our shampoos, our soaps, our mouthwashes, our toothpaste, the water we drink is essentially antimicrobial because it's laced with chlorine, fluoride, and so on. Most of the food you eat is antimicrobial because it's got preservatives in it. And it's got thing compounds in there designed to kill microbes. And of course, your environment itself, right? Having Roundup all over the place and other pesticides and herbicides, even the off-gassing from things like glues in your shoes, all of these things have a negative impact on microbes. So we have taken this beautiful microbial construct and we've put it in an antimicrobial world. So virtually everything in the modern world has a negative impact on the microbes. And then if you compound that with like a bigger series of impacts, like for example, your child is born and has to go through 4 or 5 courses of antibiotics in the first year dealing with things like ear infections and so on, that is kind of an overwhelming tsunami to really start moving the microbiome in the wrong direction, right? So those are the kinds of things that can really trigger an avalanche of dysfunction. But we're already sitting in a slowly boiling pot of dysfunction all the time, you know. So hopefully that wasn't too kind of weird and esoteric and made sense to people. But the idea I want to really convey is that it's not just any one thing; it's everything around us. Which means that every little thing you change has a purpose and an impact, right? So as we talk about solutions, it's not just do this or do this. It's going to be, let's start making lots of little changes. And all of those little changes will add up, just like all those little things add up to really disrupting our system.
Right. And parents being, you've got to be consistent too. You know, there's so many, like you said, environmental toxins out there today. And I'll even link to an episode I did with Dr. Stephanie Seneff on glyphosate, which is in Roundup. So for our listeners, they'll have a greater understanding of the dangers of that. I was just in the store, a garden store the other day, and we're in the US and it's on every store aisle. I was just like, oh, I can't. It's banned in other countries and they're actually spraying it on our food, our wheat crops and things like that. So, you know, not only is it in your yard or if your neighbor's using it, you're even inhaling it through your nostrils. It's destroying the gut microbiome, as you're saying.
Yeah. So this interview goes on. It's an hour long interview. It's really good if you're interested in this, but particularly because they focus, this is a woman who tries to help people reverse autism in their kids. If you have an issue with that or other behavioral issues, because autism is its own thing, but children that have behavioral issues that act out, that have, you know, even social issues, anything that really affects the brain and how your children interacts with other people can be affected by this, and they spend a lot of time going into it. I love that they touch on the glyphosate stuff too, because this is what most people are eating. Again, I don't know that you can just label one thing that has deteriorated the health of Western countries and America in particular. You can point to our overconsumption of sugar. Maybe it's the microwaves, maybe it's the fluoride in the foods, but the bottom line is that we have just assaulted ourselves with so many different things. And I got to tell you, I feel worse for the kids and for the parents who are giving their kids things like Roundup coated food. They have no earthly idea because they haven't been educated in this, and their children are suffering the consequences for that going into adolescence and through their adult life with conditions they don't understand why they've got. You've got to pay attention to what you're eating, particularly if you've got a child that's got emotional or behavioral issues. That's all the time I got. See ya. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.